In this regard, getting small is, rather than an intentional act, a reaction to the pain and fear induced by uncontrolled and uncontrollable growth, both of which could have been anticipated provided the owner had been prepared to facilitate the growth in a balanced, healthy, proactive way. But to do that requires intention at the outset of the business, entrepreneurial intention, as well as a willingness, no, a true passion, for the personal transformation such a process will call for, accessing new skills, new understanding, new knowledge, new emotional depth, new wisdom. You might say that the chaos that takes place in every adolescent business can produce one of two outcomes for the small business owner who suddenly finds himself in the middle of it. For the truly passionate owner, Don Juan's warrior, it can provide him with an opportunity to transmute his personal lead into gold. Or the fires can become so fearsome that he shrinks back to the safety of the smaller life he came from not too long before. The lead I've got is better than the gold I haven't got. Better safe than sorry. So in this context, a business that gets small again is a business reduced to the level of its owner's personal resistance to change, to its owner's comfort zone, in which the owner waits and works, works and waits, hoping for something positive to happen. This condition reminds me of a line from Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot, in which Estragon, having waited around for days hoping the mythical Godot will arrive and relieve him of his misery, turns to his companion Vladimir and says, "I can't go on like this." To which Vladimir replies, "That's what you think." So if the natural disposition of every business is to either grow or contract, and it is, there is no denying that, then getting small again is the natural inclination of the technician-turned-owner to shrink from the unknown, to shrink from the business she has created, to constrain the business from creating demands on her to which she feels hopelessly inadequate to respond appropriately. In short, businesses that get small again die. They literally implode upon themselves. Not right away, necessarily, but over time, they die, atrophy and die. They can't do anything else. And the result of that is enormous disappointment, lost investment, shattered lives. Not only the owners, but those of the employees, the families of both the owner and the employees, the customers, the suppliers, the lenders, all of those people whose lives have somehow been intertwined with the life of this small business and now with its death. The tragedy is that all this could have been prevented had the business been started differently, had the technician suffering from an entrepreneurial seizure approached the business in a broader, more entrepreneurial way. Of course, you couldn't have anticipated everything that's happened to you so far in your business, I said to Sarah, but you could have anticipated much of it. You could have anticipated what happened to Elizabeth and the people she hired. You could have anticipated that people would love your pies and that the business would therefore have to grow. You could have anticipated that growth would bring additional responsibilities, additional skills required, additional capital needed to respond to the added demand that growth always places on a business and on people. In short, while you couldn't have known everything, you could certainly have known more than you do. And that's your job, Sarah, the job of the owner. And if you don't do it, nobody will. Simply put, your job is to prepare yourself and your business for growth, to educate yourself sufficiently so that as your business grows, the business's foundation and structure can carry the additional weight. And as awesome a responsibility as that may seem to you, you have no other choice, if your business is to thrive, that is. It's up to you to dictate your business's rate of growth as best you can by understanding the key processes that need to be performed, the key objectives that need to be achieved, the key position you're aiming your business to hold in the marketplace. By asking the right questions, such as, where do I wish to be? When do I wish to be there? How much capital will that take? How many people? Doing what work and how? What technology will be required? How large a space will be needed at benchmark 1, at benchmark 2, at benchmark 3? Will you be wrong at times? Will you make mistakes? Will you change your mind? Of course you will, more often than not. But done right, you will also have contingency plans in place. Best case, worst case. And sometimes you'll simply fly by the seat of your pants. You'll go with the flow. You'll follow your intuition. But all the while, even while you're guessing, the key is to plan, envision, and articulate what you see in the future, both for yourself and for your employees. Because if you don't articulate it, I mean write it down clearly so others can understand it, you don't own it. And do you know that in all the years I've been doing this work with small business owners, out of the thousands upon thousands we've met, there have only been a handful who have had any plan at all? Nothing written, nothing committed to paper, nothing concrete at all? Remember, Sarah, any plan is better than no plan. Because in the process of defining the future, the plan begins to shape itself to reality, both the reality of the world out there and the reality you're able to create in here. And as those two realities merge, they form a new reality. Call it your reality. Call it the unique invention that is uniquely yours. The reality of your mind and your heart uniting with all the elements of your business and your business with the world, shaping, designing, collaborating to form something that never existed before in exactly that way. And that is the sign of a mature company. A mature company is started differently than all the rest. A mature company is founded on a broader perspective, an entrepreneurial perspective, a more intelligent point of view, about building a business that works not because of you, but without you. And because it starts that way, it is more likely to continue that way. And therein resides the true difference between an adolescent company where everything is left up to chance and a mature company where there's a vision against which the present is shaped. But I'm getting ahead of myself, I said. The important thing is that your experience could have been completely different, that there is an entirely different way to start a business than the way you and most technicians turn business owners start theirs, and that anyone can do it. I looked at Sarah and caught the glow in her eyes. I'm inspired by the idea of it, she said softly. All of a sudden, everything that has looked so dark feels light again. But no sooner had she begun to let herself thrill to the idea of building a business that works, that some other thought, a dark thought, captured her attention. But what do I do about Elizabeth? She said. What do I do about Elizabeth? The question every technician turned owner wants answered. As though by answering that question, everything else will be answered. As if the answer to all of the frustrations most small business owners experience is somehow tied to particular people. As if within the complexity of Sarah's relationship with Elizabeth, within all relationships for that matter, there exists some key which, once turned, could make everything right again. Well, I'm no genius, but I know that there is no such key. There's just us. You and me, fumbling about in our often inadequate way, constantly being surprised by our own and other people's behavior, how badly we've done it, how out of touch with our own and others' feelings we've discovered ourselves to be. I looked Sarah in the eye, got very quiet, and said, "Sarah, the real question is not what you do about Elizabeth, but what do you do about all the Elizabeths in your future? You did the best you could, and so did Elizabeth. It's time to get on with your life, to build your business in an enlivening way. Are you ready?" Sarah smiled at me, her eyes positively gleaming. "I'm ready if you are," she said. "Then let's talk about maturity for a minute," I said, "because that's where your future lies.